بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah. We have reached verse 185. قال الله تعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. The month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and the criterion between right and wrong. So whoever of you sights the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan and present at his home must observe fasting that month, and whoever is ill or on a journey the same number of days which one did not observe fasting must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days, and that you must magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and the shahr, the month, is the period between the emergence of the crescents and the mere rising in the horizon of the crescent does not obligate any legal matter until it is seen and clear and witnessed, unless there is a kind of barrier or hindrance like clouds or the like. This is concerning the meaning of the term shahr, month. And Ramadan is derived from ar-ramd, and there is difference of opinion as to its being called Ramadan. It is said because it is yarmudu dhunub, meaning eliminates the sins. Burns them out. And it is also said, when the months were first named, this particular month coincided with the time of heat, and that's why it was called Ramadan, from Ar-Ramda, time of heat. And this is closer because this naming of the month or the months took place before Islam. شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, in which the Quran was revealed. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down. And sending down is obvious that it is a matter coming from above. And it is because the Quran is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens on His Arsh. Al-Quran, it is said to mean the recited. And the second meaning is that it is the book compiling the meanings of the previous books or containing both the good of this life and the hereafter, comprising both. The term Quran, does it refer to the entire Quran being sent down, or it refers to the type? So meaning its parts. Some of the people of knowledge are with the opinion that Al-Quran covers the entire Quran, and this is famous with the Mufassirin, especially the latter ones. But the reality of the revelation makes this opinion problematic, because Quran was revealed in Ramadan and in Shawwal and in Dhul Qa'dah and in Dhul Hijjah, in all the months. They answer to this problem by saying that it was related from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Quran was sent down from the preserved tablet to the house of Amr in the month of Ramadan, and Jibreel took it from the house of Amr, bringing it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, this narration is weak from Ibn Abbas. And the correct opinion that Al in Al-Quran is for the kind, not for entirety. So the meaning here would be أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, meaning its revelation began, its sending down began in Ramadan. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, in Surah Al-Dukhan, verse 3, chapter 44, verse 3. We sent it down on a blessed night. And like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qadr, verse 1, verily we have sent this Quran down in the night of Al-Qadr, meaning we began sending it. So it's not the entire Quran as a whole. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse describing the Quran, Hudan linnas, a guidance for mankind. This is the closest meaning. So it is sent guiding mankind. People guide, people take the Quran as guidance in that which benefits them in their deen and in their livelihood. Hudan linnas, guidance for mankind. Kull linnas, all mankind. The believer and the kafir. The believer and the kafir, in as far as the al-hidayah al-ilmiyyah. Al-hidayah al-ilmiyyah. The guidance pertaining to quote unquote, the theoretical aspect of the knowledge it contains. As to the practical guidance, then it is guidance for the muttaqeen. So therefore the muttaqeen, the pious ones, it is a practical as well as theoretical. And for mankind as a whole, it is quote unquote theoretical. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it furthermore by saying bayyinat, clear signs and proofs. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Quran in another verse in Surah Al-Ankabut in 29:49, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Nay, but they, the clear ayat, signs, they are ayat bayyinat, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. Verily, the Quran is composed of clear signs preserved in the breasts of those who have been given guidance or given knowledge from the people of the scriptures. So therefore it comprises the clear proofs and signs and the guidance. It contains the proofs on the truthfulness of the information therein and on the justice regarding the rulings it contains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it also in this verse as Furqan, criterion between right and wrong, between good and evil, between what is beneficial and what is harmful. Between the party of Allah and the party of Shaitan. And that's why the person who is guided. Finds clarity in the Quran. And as to those in whose hearts there is deviation, matters are not clear to them, they follow that which is not clear, not entirely clear. And so they are misguided. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. So how whoever of you sights the crescent or he is present at his home and the latter meaning is the preponderating meaning, that is the present at home. This is preponderated by the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. And as to the one who is ill or on a journey, then فعدة من أيام أخر, the same number of days which one did not observe must be made up from other days. And we know that this verse came in the previous verse which we discussed last time, and now This verse we are discussing is verse 185, abrogated the former verse where there was a choice. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated this statement here, and whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days should be made up. Why? Lest one think that the person on a journey and the traveler, that also his case is abrogated. So Allah repeated it here in order to make sure the clarity of the exception for those who are traveling or ill, that they have the permit to break the fast. And that's why Allah repeated it here. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ, whoever observes the month or present, then let him fast, should fast or must fast, then this, if the exception is not mentioned concerning the ill and or on a journey, or the one on a journey, then people would think that they are also included in the abrogation, and it's not the case. And this is from the eloquency of the Quran. So therefore, this is not just mere repetition, but a beneficial repetition. A beneficial repetition. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. This is an explanation for من كان مريضا, whoever is ill or on a journey. That's the reason why Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. Allah intends, meaning He loves. And this irada, this will or this intention or want, is a legal one, shar'iyya, meaning Allah loves for you ease. And this is not the universal kawniyya will. This is not the universal will. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for us the universal ease, then no one would have any difficulty whatsoever. So therefore, this really refers to the legal will. And that's why, alhamdulillah, you don't find in this sharia anything that is difficult in the legislation. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. And they يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. So that you, He wants that you must complete the same number of days. So Allah wants this legally from us to complete it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهُ, and that you must magnify Allah. Meaning you say Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than anything. His magnificence covers both the tangible and the intangible. The seven heavens and the earth in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a mustard seed in the hand of one of us. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهُ, that you must magnify Allah for having guided you, so that you may be grateful to Him. عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So when the person fasts Ramadan and completes it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him two types of guidance. That one which pertains to his knowledge, and the other guidance of action, al-amal, righteous deeds. ولعلكم تشكرون, so that you may be grateful to him. And الشكر, what is الشكر? Is establishing the obedience to the one, to the bestower of grace, by carrying on his commands and abstaining from his prohibitions. This is the meaning of shukr. The benefits of this verse are, number one, the fasting ordained upon us is specified during a certain period. This is the month of Ramadan. Secondly, the merit of this month, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained its fasting. Third, the Quran was sent down in this month, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began sending the Quran in this month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down also in other times other than the month of Ramadan. Fourthly, affirming the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above creation, because it is known that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and if it is sent down, then the one who spoke it is above, most magnificent and most high is he. Fifthly, the Quran is the speech of Allah, because the one who brought it down is Allah, sent it down. And since the Quran is the speech of Allah, then it is inevitable that the one who spoke it is Allah. Letter and meaning. Sixthly, the Quran is guidance, clear proof, and criterion. The seventh benefit is inciting these verses, insight to contemplate the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as guidance. So anyone who contemplates the Quran, seeking guidance from it, then the path of the truth will become clear to him. Eighth benefit, the obligation to fast the month of Ramadan when the commencement of the month is affirmed. And this commencement is affirmed either by completing the month of Sha'ban 30 days, or by the actual sighting and seeing of the crescent of the month of Ramadan. The month is affirmed by the seeing of one person, one trustworthy person, seeing the crescent is sufficient to affirm the commencement of the month. In fact, a man came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him that he saw the hilal, the crescent. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, أتشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. Do you testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger? He said yes. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بلال commanded Bilal أن يؤذن في الناس أن يصوم غدا, to declare to the people that the fasting shall be tomorrow, from the next day. Similarly, Ibn Umar, may Allah please him, and also with his father, he said that people sighted the crescent, and I came to the Prophet ﷺ and I told him that I saw it. So he ﷺ fasted and commanded the people to fast that month. So therefore, from this we know that's not obligated to fast before the commencement of the month. This is important because if, for example, there was cloud now, or there were clouds the night of the 30th of Sha'ban, or dust preventing from seeing the crescent, sighting the crescent, so therefore that day is not to be considered a day for fast, because the month is not affirmed. And this is the preponderating opinion between the opinions of the scholars. Actually, it is what is apparent from the hadith of Ammar bin Yasir, may Allah be pleased with him, with both of them, that whoever fasts the day of doubt, then in this case he disobeyed Abul Qasim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning its fasting is sinful. From the benefits is that if the crescent is sighted in one place and it's not sighted in another, then it is not incumbent upon those who don't see the hilal to fast, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conditioned the obligation on the fasting by the sighting of the crescent. This matter is a matter of disagreement between the scholars. One opinion is that wherever the sighting of the moon is affirmed, the crescent of the Ramadan month is affirmed, then it is an obligation upon the entire Muslim Ummah to fast wherever they may be. The second opinion, if people were under one province and one authority, then all the people in this situation, all the people must fast. And there is no difference between the one who sees the crescent and the one who doesn't. Yet it is also said that whoever sees the crescent, then it is incumbent upon him to fast, and the one who does not, then it is not obligatory upon him. Under the same opinion, we are discussing now the second opinion. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is with the opinion that the time of rising of the crescent differs, as it is known to people in experience and to people who are experienced regarding this matter, that the time of rising differs. So, areas that fall under the same time of rising must fast, otherwise not. Nowadays, most people nowadays follow the sighting of the moon in their countries, and should not this problem should, or this issue should not be a point of opposition and dispute between the Muslims. Now, with respect to the additional benefit, this will be now benefit number, which number is this now? Number 11. Right. Now, for someone who missed fasting the month, then making the month would be either 29 or 30 days, depending on how long was the month that he missed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Then the same number of days to be made up. Now, the making up of these days must not be delayed till after the next Ramadan. Must not be delayed till after the next Ramadan, the next month of Ramadan. This is evident from the hadith where Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, she said, there used to be some fasting for me to make up from the month of Ramadan, but I couldn't make it up except in Sha'ban, meaning Sha'ban of the next year. This indicates that it must not be made up after the next Ramadan. 12th benefit. It is preferable to mention, when one wants to talk about the month of Ramadan, it is preferable to say Shahr Ramadan. Preferable to say Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. It is permissible to say, it is permissible to say Ramadan without mentioning the term Shahr, month. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, whoever fasts Ramadan إيمانا واحتسابا, believing and anticipating the reward. And in another narration, ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا, and whoever makes the قيام in Ramadan, of Ramadan, out of faith and seeking reward. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا جاء رمضان فتحت أبواب الجنة, when Ramadan comes, the doors of paradise open. So it is permissible to say Ramadan without mentioning month of Ramadan. From the benefits of this verse, benefit number 13, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained the obligatory matter upon his slaves, not to burden them or cause them unease. Rather, he intends ease for them. This is evident from the saying of Allah in this verse, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends ease for you and does not intend any difficulty or hardship upon you. In this verse, therefore, there is indication that it is preferable for the ill person upon whom fasting is difficult, or the traveler also upon whom the traveling is difficult to break the fast, and this is what is easy for them. 14th benefit, if the dalils, the evidences concerning any ruling seems to be opposing and there is no preponderance between them, then what is necessitated by Allah's will is ease. So in this case, the easier one is to be taken. This is the preponderating opinion in this matter. Meaning, if two evidences concerning one ruling oppose each other, one indicating it is unlawful, the other indicating that it is permissible, and the matter now is unclear, therefore in this case we take by the easy one, because this is in agreement with the statement of Allah here. Allah intends ease for you and does not intend difficulty for you. This also brings another benefit, number 15, that the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon ease. Because Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ. Allah intends ease for you. And it is affirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرِ وَلَنْ يُشَادَّ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. Whoever overburdens himself in his religion will not be able to continue in that way. Whoever overburdens himself in his religion will not be able to continue in that way. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send the callers and the delegates, commanding them by saying, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. Facilitate things to people concerning their deen and give them good tidings. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, and don't turn people away from the deen. The 16th benefit, the incitement to complete the iddah, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, to complete the number of days. He wants that you must complete the same number of days. The 17th benefit, making takbir when the iddah is completed, because of the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us, and for making the fasting easy. And this takes place after the sun sets from the last day of the Ramadan. After sunset from the last day of the month of Ramadan until, people begin making this takbir after sunset on the last day of the month of Ramadan, until the imam comes for the Salat al-Eid next day, until the imam comes for the Eid prayer next day. This is the time of takbir. So people will make takbir in their homes, in the mosques, in the markets. Men making takbir loudly and women secretly. And the manner, the how of takbir is to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Or repeat. One way of takbir is to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. Another way is to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. So the second way is Allahu Akbar three times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. The 18th benefit, inciting the believers to give thanks, gratitude, and it is the establishment of obedience to the one who bestows the favors upon us. And this should be by way of creed and by way of action and by way of saying. And this is also indicated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying in the hadith, Inna Allah tayyib, Allah is tayyib, is good. لا يقبل إلا طيبا, He accepts not except that which is good. وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين, and that سبحانه وتعالى Allah commanded the believers by that which He commanded the messengers. فقال تعالى, so He said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله. O who you believe, eat from the good which we gave you in provision. واشكروا لله, واشكروا الله, and be grateful to Allah. And وقال تعالى, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also said, وقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. And in the first verse he addressed the believers, in the second verse he addressed the messengers, all messengers, eat from the طيبات, from the good things, واعملوا صالحا, and do righteous deeds. And this tells that الشكر هو العمل الصالح. This tells that gratitude is righteous, is the righteous deed. And therefore, the one who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, does not establish shukr, gratitude. And this could be the extent of which could differ in accordance with the degree of sin committed. Some also deducted a benefit from these verses is that the people who are present in areas where they don't have months, like those who live in the polar regions, for example, these fast during the time of Ramadan with others that are close to their regions. So if there is a region where there is a month of Ramadan going on, then they fast during this period. And they said that this is from the signs of the Quran, because the statement is applicable to this condition, which this condition was not known before to people. when the Quran was sent down. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, that you complete the same days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who attain the month of Ramadan many years to come, and to make it easy upon us, and to make it from those who fasted with sincerity and in the way pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make us from those who thank Him for all of His favors subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.